making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Patrick Mahomes is Steph Curry for football.
Oh, I like it.
Patrick Mahomes is starting quarterback. The Steph Curry of football.
Mahomes comes in right as the rules have changed and football's turning into touch football. And you can't touch the quarterback. You can't hit receivers over the middle. This. He is the best flag football quarterback you could ever possibly have. He can run. He's got a cannon.
Like Curry, Mahomes is the offensive engine that turns a perennial also-ran franchise into a potential dynasty.
Five games.
Pretty quick.
Pat Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, kick and play, right?
Oh, he's good.
No one's going to say he can't play. No one's going to say he isn't very good. He's legit. I think Kansas City's got their guy.
But now we see why they were so quick to trade Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They wasted no time.
Absolutely the right move.
I wonder how much that year, you know, sitting and watching him, too, helped him.
Oh, I think, like, when I talked to him about that...
Like the whole Rodgers
thing. I talked to him about that, about, like, 3-4 weeks ago, and he said that it was huge because... And you could probably relate to this. So, like, he wasn't the one making the mistakes. Like, he could watch Alex Smith do this right, do that wrong, and he got, like, a view of it without, like, being the one who was actually... I thought it was an interesting way of looking at it. Like, yeah. Like, he's not the one making the mistakes, so he's learning from seeing somebody else do a lot of things right, a few things wrong, and he could kind of take all of that into account and then actually apply it... When he can playing, make plays. Rather than just going through it all at once.
He can make plays where Alex Smith, it's got to be perfect for him. He's got to be a game manager. How would you like to beat a Redskin fan right now and have that guy for $19 million a year? That's what he's making, right?
Yeah. Well, it's more than that, I think. I'm pretty sure it's... No, he's making close to 25 Jesus. A year.
All right, so per usual, you've got people that are just going crazy.
Over the moon.
For Patrick Mahomes, who, again, to take nothing away from his ability because he's looked great to this point, but now he's being compared... By multiple people at multiple media outlets.
To Steph Curry.
That there is a parallel between Patrick Mahomes and Steph Curry in the NBA.
Which is like...
Multiple championships.
I think the implication, right, is that he's like reinventing the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, like there is that implication. Here's more from what Simmons said, as he said on ESPN. He said that Patrick Mahomes, as you heard in the clip, is the Steph Curry for football. When we went on to say... He comes into the league right as it's changing, right? Meaning Mahomes coming into the league as it's changing. So Steph Curry comes into the league right as people start getting the spacing, three-point shooting, all this stuff. Uh-huh. And he's the best shooter we've ever seen, but also the timing of the shooting. He's at the forefront of this new revolution, talking about Steph Curry. And then he goes, Mahomes comes in right as the rules have changed and football is turning into touch football. You can't touch the quarterback. You can't hold receivers over the middle. We're having more 400-yard games than ever. It's just touch football, and he's the best flag football quarterback you could ever possibly have. He can run. He's got a cannon. You're not allowed to hit him. Okay, this is what I would ask. What is it that Patrick Mahomes does that another guy has not done before?
Where is the revolution? Hold on. How about this? What has Patrick Mahomes done through five games that Deshaun Watson didn't do through five games last year?
That's a good point. Thank you.
That Robert Griffin didn't do through 16 games in 2012. I'm not like. Look, I think Mahomes.
I'd almost say Watson was better.
Mahomes has done a lot of things really well, and I think you got to give Andy Reid credit too.
And those are more recent. Bert, like how about like he gets this Brett Favre comparison all the time.
Well, Wentz looked on
Brett Favre's one of these guys.
Wentz,
yeah, runs on the field, throw it all over the yard. He's one of those guys.
Carson Wentz looked unstoppable his first month with the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
And then he totally leveled off. I think his last 12 games his rookie year, it was 9 touchdowns against 13 interceptions. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with Mahomes, but there's an element of that where defenses are going to catch up to what he's doing. That's what's so interesting about this week. So on one side, you got the Chiefs.
It's old versus new.
Last year, the Chiefs came out red hot. They came out and like scorched everybody the same way they're scorching everybody now. And then after about 5 or 6 games, all the spread stuff they were doing, all the college stuff they were doing, coaches started to get tape on that, and then the Chiefs leveled off. And if you remember, there was like a 6 or 7 game stretch in the middle of the year where they couldn't move the ball. All right, so the Chiefs are right there, like right where they were last year when they leveled off, and now they're going up against Belichick with 10 days to prepare.
Right.
So that's what's so interesting about this one is like – the Chiefs have to know in the back of their head, like, that this is right when last, this is right where last year, right where they like, everyone sort of caught up to what they were doing. And it's to Andy's credit that he's innovating and he's keeping ahead of things, but, like, is it sustainable the way they played the first 5 weeks of the year?
Bert Breer is with us. He's brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free, free online banking and debit card. No minimum balance and no monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. I just think it's a reach is what it
Steph
is.
Steph Curry, though.
It's an overstatement. And you're going to compare him to a guy who's won something.
I think he's
like, can you wait? It's been five games. Now he's revolutionizing the sport.
Dynasty was thrown out there.
I think he's a part.
One September of football for Mahomes revolutionized football forever.
You know, like, what he is.
That's a joke.
What he is, Beetle, he's one of a group of, like, spread offense quarterbacks that came from playing 7-on-7 since they were 10 years old and have thrown a million balls in their life and went to play in a spread offense in college.
He doesn't have to be a pocket guy.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of these guys?
It's just, like, Mahomes is, as we can see, yeah. Mahomes has got, like outrageous talent. Like, that's where it is. Like, he's part of that, the position changing, offense in the NFL changing a little bit. So he's a part of all of that. And he goes into that whole fight with athleticism, with a big arm, with an ability to throw from different arm angles, with moxie. Like, he has a lot of things that you love. I don't know that he's markedly different than a lot of the other guys that have come into the league outside of the fact that he can make the circus throw. Like that's the one thing that sticks out, is that he does make some of these circus throws, which is something that we saw from Brett Favre 25 years ago.
But from a mechanic standpoint, you know, you always want the guy to have the compact delivery. You want to hold the ball chest level. He's anti-mechanic, and it's working for him.
And what's interesting, you know, that was the other thing he pointed out to me when I talked to him about it, was I was like, where'd you learn that? And, you know, his dad.
Baseball.
Everybody here knows his dad played for the Red Sox and had, I think, a 12-year career as a relief pitcher. You know, like, I asked him, did you learn it from pitching? He's like, actually, no. He's like, I learned it from playing shortstop. I was always a shortstop growing up. And, you know, when you play shortstop, you got to throw off of all different platforms. You got to throw off balance. You got to be able to make a throw on the run. He's like, I learned to throw from different angles by playing baseball. And, you know, then I get to Texas Tech, and Cliff Kingsbury, instead of correcting it, like, sort of embraced it and said, okay, like, we can work with this. And, again, I think it's, a big piece of all of this is, like, coaches at every level being a little bit more open-minded than they used to be. And that's a huge credit. That's a huge credit to Andy Reid, because he's been a head coach in the league for 20 years, and his willingness to change is what's unlocking this kid's talent.
But can it last? I mean, like, the Redskins did it with RG3. Remember, they took the Baylor offense. They implemented all the
This kid throws it better. This kid throws it better.
Oh, this kid can throw.
He throws it better than Griffin. I mean, look, Watson, Trubisky came from a spread. Like, all three of the quarterbacks that were drafted in 17. It's what's interesting about the way Mahomes has played the first 5 weeks. I thought what was really impressive the first couple weeks, if you watch him, everything looked on schedule. Like, everything looked like he was playing within the offense. And so we'd heard all of this stuff about how he could do things off schedule and how he was a playground player and all the rest of it. But he was doing everything on schedule early in the year. And I think there have been a couple spots the last couple weeks where defenses have caught up to him. And you know what happens then is then it's, now I'm going to go playground.
And you get caught in bad situations what you do. And that's where you have turnovers and you have sacks, and that's where you lose yards.
But it hasn't happened yet.
But it will.
It will.
Give it time.
I think eventually it will.
It always does.
And look, that's fine. When that happens, we got to give this kid room to grow.
Just the general premise that he's revolutionizing or somehow changing the sport.
I think he's an extremely talented kid that's part of a wave of players.
Right
that are
place,
like this.
Right time.
Yeah.
That's where he is.
Biggest thing, too, he's
very talented guy who happens to be stepping into the league. When I think Simmons is right on this, there is a change going on here.
Yeah.
There is a change. And we've sort of been keeping an eye on this with you. We've talked about it a couple of times. But not only that, but the offensive numbers and the way the play calling has gone in the league. I actually have something to update on that front. Okay. And we will do that and get your both your Red Sox calls and your calls on Pat Mahomes. He's going to be here. Excuse me. Patrick Mahomes. He goes by Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because
Pat Dad Mitchell. Goes by Pat Mahomes. Yep. I'm just used to saying that. So Patrick Mahomes will be here on Sunday night and will definitely be a big test for the Patriots defense. We'll talk Red Sox and Patrick Mahomes with you coming up next.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Single back, Kareem Hunt. 6:46 to go, first quarter, no score. Rolling left is Mahomes, looking at Kareem Hunt. He's going to sprint for the far pylon. He dives. Touchdown, Kansas City. The second straight week, Patrick Mahomes with the rushing touchdown.
We're going to be talking to Stephon Gilmore, Patriots cornerback, momentarily. He'll be joining us on the line. Burt Breer, the MMQB, is with us here on Zolak and Bertram. And I will tell you that Stephon Gilmore is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. He's not quite ready. I think he's on hold.
He's on hold.
Oh, yeah, a minute.
He's talking to Tom.
Right now?
Oh. Yep.
Why is he talking to Tom?
Just got on the phone.
So are they having a little exchange of the pleasantries?
Tom's like, he got a big game this week.
All right, he's ready to go. Stephon Gilmore joins us now on Zolak and Bertram. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Stephon. Got your hands full this week. You heard a little highlight coming back there with Hunt. With a tight end like Kelce, how much nickel do you guys think you're going to play in this game? Pretty much the bulk of it, right?
We'll see. See how the game goes. Coaches got a good game plan. It depends on what the coaches call. So that's what we got to go out there and play.
What'd you think? He was going to give you that?
No, but I mean, give you that seriously, I mean, with the multiple sets that they line up in, it's hard to go regular against this team because of the way the tight end runs.
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite guy. Everybody knows that he's one of the top guys in the league. So they got a bunch of weapons on the offensive side of the ball, so you got to be able to match that.
What's the challenge with facing a Mahomes who can get the ball wherever he wants to put it and all the speed they bring? Like, from a defensive back's perspective, like, what's the toughest thing about, like, all the, like, the totality of mobile quarterback who can put the ball wherever he wants and then elite skill players who can really run?
It's a challenge. Like you said, they have a lot of elite players that can make plays on the ball and with the ball in their hands. And when you have a quarterback that can buy time and have a good arm, and when all that stuff is clicking, they're hard to stop. So we got to do a good job of reading our keys and playing with good technique and knowing everybody at it and making plays.
There have been comparisons drawn between Patrick Mahomes and Steph Curry in the NBA. That he's sort of, coming onto the scene in a big way and somehow changing the way the game is being played. What do you think of that? What do you think of that comparison?
I mean, he has came in and played great ball. So we've seen 5-0, and he's a big reason why they're 5-0. So I think that's he's doing a great job for that team.
Is Tyreek Hill the fastest man in the NFL?
Yes, I think so. He's definitely the fastest guy in the NFL. So, he got a good quarterback and good running game, and they have a lot of good players.
Are they similar to the other offenses that Reed is, you played against Andy Reed offenses? How much different do they look with Mahomes? Because a lot of people say they're using elements from Texas Tech and, sort of like when RG3 came into the league. Are they that different without Alex Smith?
Yeah, they're different. Like I said, he's a different quarterback. He has a quick release, and he probably learned from Alex Smith, and he's gotten better, and his team is playing good football right now. So we got to play physical football game and be aggressive and try to stop all their playmakers.
How much of the focus this week is just on the fact that, like, for you guys in the back end, plays can last for 4 or 5 or 6 seconds because he can break the pocket and turn anything into a big shot downfield?
Yeah, for sure. You have to anytime we play against tournament quarterbacks, we got to be able to plaster with our guys and rely on the defensive line to get there and linebackers to get there. So that's one thing we have to do. Anytime you play against a mobile guy, you got to be able to adjust in that way.
I want to ask you about Jason McCourty real quick. It seems like he's starting to find himself opposite you. What have you been seeing in his game that has allowed him to play at the level he's playing at?
He's a smart guy. He's been playing football for a long time in the league, so he's been making plays in the league for a long time, and he's finally over here with us, and he's playing aggressive, playing fast, and smart, and whatever position we put him in, he make plays. So I'm glad he's on our team.
Is there any knowledge that you gained last year in the Kansas City game that you'll take with you going up? I know it's not the same quarterback, but it's still an Andy Reid coach team in this year's matchup.
A little bit, but kind of watch that game and see what they did to us, and you know, and watch the games this year and see what they're doing. And this is a different offense, so different quarterback, some of the same playmakers, but. They added Sammy Watkins, added, you know, they got a good running game. So it's going to be a good challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
Do you have any desire to pull a Jalen Ramsey and call out Tyreek Hill and say he's just a return man for the game?
Nah, he's a good player. I mean, you know, you got to know where he at on the field. So it's gonna be fun going against them.
Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey? And I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
it's
the
like
game
a part of the position.
Is even played. I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, it's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys that talk is mostly zone guys, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, you said?
Yeah.
All right, Stephon,
real quick, well, I got one more for you.
Oh, one more from Zell.
Yeah, you played in some big games here last year. Does this feel like, you know, Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs, that this is a this could be a springboard for you guys? That one of the biggest regular season games in a while?
Yeah, it's a big game for us. That's our next game. So, you know, they are undefeated. They're coming in here, and we got to play good football to beat them. So, That's our job to get that done this week.
All right, big test on Sunday night, big game. Everybody will be watching. Appreciate your time as always.
All right, thanks, man.
All right,
see you. Good luck,
Stephon Gilmore, with us here on
that
Zolak
was
and Bertrand.
A shot.
Wow,
I feel like guys that talk like that, they're mostly zone guys, so they have a lot of energy to talk. Now, for anybody out there, for anyone out there who doesn't know, calling. Like a corner calling another corner a zone guy is basically.
Might as well be making fun of his mother.
Right.
He can't cover.
I'm going to tweet that baby out.
Oh, we got to hear that again. We got to get that. That was awesome.
Okay, well, can we get that, Jim?
Zone guys.
They're a bunch of zone guys.
They got a lot of energy to be doing that.
That's not the first time somebody said that about Ramsey.
And that'll be the last time we're ever allowed to talk to Stephon.
Get ready for David Andrews next week.
And we're going to be hammered with David Andrews for the next month.
Can they bring Nate Solder back to talk to us?
Shut up.
Giants tackle Nate Solder with us on this Wednesday. Wow. Awesome. I think Stephon Gilmore really wants to play well in this game. He had a bad game against Kansas City last year, and it was early in his time here, and he was still learning things, and I think that he wants to, like always, not that there are games where he doesn't want to play well. I think there's something personal for him on the line in this game. Go out and have a good game.
And it's, I mean,
and look, he's been playing great, by the way.
And yeah, he has.
Like, he's your best defender right now.
He's been fabulous. Like, that is, and no one was more critical than I was.
We all were. We crushed him early.
His first month here, his demeanor, all of that. Like, he has been well worth the money. And that, like, and to have that position taken care of with a guy who's that size, too, who's 6'1", long arms, all the rest of it, can match up with different guys. This is going to be interesting because every single one of the Chiefs guys can run. And so who do you put him on?
Do you think they move him around, though, just to confuse Mahomes?
Do you put him on Kelce?
Series to series?
Do you put him on Kelce?
Yeah, it's kind of like why I asked you. You got to start this game in nickel.
Like, I look at it like he's probably not the best matchup for Hill.
Right.
He's probably not the – I mean, Sammy, maybe you can put him on Sammy. He knows Sammy because he practiced against him for all those years, right?
Yeah. And they've done that too, where they've taken a guy like Tlaib and they put him on Jimmy Graham. Remember when the Saints were here? So,
yeah, they did that with Tlaib.
Bill's done that before.
They did that with Tlaib a few times, I think. Yeah. So, and Gilmore's that type of corner, like a bigger, longer corner. So maybe they put him on Kelce.
617-779-0985.
He won't be playing zone. I don't think he'll be playing much zone.
Let's hear it
Sunday,
one more time. Let's hear it again. Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey? And I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
it's
the
like
game
a part of the position.
Is even playing.
Just,
I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, that's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys that talk is mostly zone guys, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, he said?
Yep.
I feel like a lot of the guys that talk, they're mostly zone guys, so they have a lot of energy to do that.
That was his best interview of the season.
We'll never see him again.
We'll never talk to him again now.
But he was good there. He was giving us stuff.
That was awesome.
Mostly zone guys. Our thanks to Stephon Gilmore for giving us a good one today. We'll get back to your calls. Red Sox and Patrick Mahomes coming to town Sunday night. Both of those things on the table right now with Bert Breer.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox. Whoa! Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's going on? Red Sox over the Yankees. 4-3 last night at Yankee Stadium. Rick Porcello in there for five innings, allowing one run on four hits. But let's hear from somebody else, you know? Maybe Andrew Benintendi on what it's like to beat the Yankees in New York.
We knew that the environment was going to be, you know, electric, and, you know, we knew that we had to come out and play well, and it was a fun two games, and, you know, yesterday we took care of business, and today we, you know, got out early and kind of rode that, so, you know, to win here, you know, twice in 20 days is pretty fun.
First game of the ALCS against the Astros is going to happen Saturday night at Fenway Park, game two, Sunday night. Something else going on Sunday night, that would be the Patriots playing host to the Kansas City Chiefs. More primetime football for the Patriots, who had perfect attendance at practice yesterday afternoon.
No lack of regret.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey, and I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
it's
the
like
game
a part of the position
is even played.
Allowed just, to.
I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, it's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys that talk is mostly zone guys, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, he said?
Yeah.
Bert Breer was almost as happy as when Juwan Bentley went on IR there with that chuckle in the middle of the...
That was like, I mean, hearing that out of a Patriot, I mean, it's like that's like finding a $100 bill in your pocket.
I had to ask him about this before he was off
like,
the
phone. Like, hearing that from a Patriot, like, yeah.
And it's just natural. There's the tie-in of Tyreek Hill this week with the Kansas City Chiefs, and here we are, Stephon Gilmore. Throw a little shade there.
It makes you feel worse about the Jacksonville game now. Just the fact you said that's all they do is play zone, that they couldn't beat, you know, they couldn't get open, they couldn't separate, that you couldn't carve that defense
it's
up.
It's the Seattle defense.
Yeah.
That's the Seattle defense, and that's what, I mean, you remember, that's like the criticism Sherman took. So Ramsey has gotten some of the same criticism that Sherman got over the years that, oh, yeah, you're only being asked to,
right.
I mean, in that defense, the truth is, and this is to Pete's credit, like, I remember a DB who played there telling me, like, yeah, they only really asked the corners to cover three routes, and the rest of it, like the strong safety and the free safety, you've got the rest of the field.
Hey, Patriots fans, Mark Bertrand here. Ever wondered how to make game day even greater? Simple. Bring Crown Royal to share with your friends, and you'll be the game day MVP. Long day coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
A lot of sports to be watching. Red Sox will get started at 7, and the Patriots will get started after 8. That should be interesting. I think we're going to see some of those, like, tailgates that are watching on TV
combo,
before they go into the stadium. And I don't know, maybe they'll put it on in the state. I don't know how they're going to handle that. It's so close. I don't know that they'll be able to do that.
I can't remember what they did. Did they put the baseball game on? What was the game they put on? Brewski got pissed off. It was a Red Sox
game.
Well,
no. Brewski was mad in, I want to say it was 2004.
It was against the A's.
Was it a Titans game? Were they here?
Yeah, Titans were here.
Were the Titans here? That was, I think,
Sox A's, right?
Sox A's.
Yeah, Sox A's. It was Titans, Oakland. Patriots, yeah. Right? Yep. I think I have that right. I think it was Titans.
Yeah, the crowd went nuts when Trout Nixon hit a home run.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, WTF. And that was when, they were only a couple of years into the new stadium.
Yeah.
And the new stadium's noise does not carry like it did in the old place.
Because it's way too open.
Yeah, it's very open. It's very high. And the players at that time who had played in the old building knew that the crowd was not really the same.
Right.
You know?
That's the last time they played it.
And, yeah, I don't think the players were thrilled. I know Richard Seymour wasn't thrilled about it either at the time.
That's right.
Like, where is the crowd?
But that was back when, that was also back when, like, the Patriots had a little, had a little brother complex with the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's a good
Did. They absolutely did. You're right. I mean, there was, they were not the number one team in terms of the hearts and minds of everybody here. Yeah.
Right.
No, they weren't. Now they dominate. Now the Red Sox were sensitive about coverage.
They were sensitive about everything.
As they should have been, considering that they had won three out of four Super Bowls in that time. And everyone's like, yeah, but the Red Sox have won for the first time in 86 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think it went over well with them. There was also a dispute about, I want to say it was, something ended up on the front page of the Globe sports section on a Sunday.
Was it like a Stan Grossfeld piece?
I want to say it was maybe the announcement.
On like fishing?
Maybe the announcement that Brewski was coming back. I know who I can ask that will remember this correctly. But there was a little bit of a back and forth, like the teams being mad at each other, and I still think there is.
Well, I remember there was.
There is still a rivalry, but there used to be
like a measuring of column inches. Like they had an idea of how many column inches in each paper were devoted to one team and the other.
It got bad.
It was basically the Patriots throwing up their arms and saying, what more do we have to do to be covered like the Red Sox are covered?
Yeah, that's not a problem anymore.
Not a problem anymore.
Not a problem anymore. 617-779-0985. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're giving away a gift card, $50 gift card to DQ,
nice.
And we're going to have sound of the final outs of last night's game from both Jones and Arcand and from the broadcast in New York. That would be, of course,
Jones is
Sterling
great. Yeah.
On the call.
Jones wanted the replay.
Let's get back to some of the calls, though. In the meantime, we'll go to Donovan, who's in Kansas City. Donovan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hold on. Let me get you. I live here in Kansas City. Well, I live in the area. And I listen to the radio quite a bit here, and I got some friends. And you should hear, they already think Mahomes has made it to the Hall of Fame with the way he's playing. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You know what's interesting, though, about that is, like, they've never had a quarterback like this there. It's always been someone else's quarterback coming in. If you look at the history of their franchise, I think it was Rich Gannon for a while.
Gerbach, then it was Montana.
Joe Montana. Yeah. Like, they've always had, like, Alex Smith. They've always had someone else's quarterback. I think that's part
Trent
of
Green,
it. That's
right.
Part of it there, right? Is, like, you finally have, like, a guy who was drafted there, like, and went high in the draft, and a guy that they're developing on their own.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and they have every right to be excited. And, you know, I root for him. I hope he plays well. But I think they need to slow down because we've seen their past. Last year they went 5-0. They've gone 9-0 twice and lost in the first round of the playoffs. I think the people out here just need to slow down, take it game by game, and, you know, hopefully – you know, good things happen.
Well, I mean, the kid's good.
It's okay to be excited.
I don't blame him, yeah.
It's okay to be excited. I mean, like, he's an exciting player to watch.
That game in Pittsburgh, on the road in Pittsburgh, and what do you have, 5 touchdowns in the first half?
Yeah, I mean,
like, that was like, wow, there's the coming out.
Well, and the throw he made against San Francisco where he fitted in, like, he, you know, went left, then came back right, and then fitted in.
Ran around about 40 yards.
Right. You know, he's an exciting player. If I'm in Kansas City right now, I'm excited to watch him. Like, what I don't want to see is, like, if he slows down in 3 weeks and has, like, a couple bumps, which I think any – like, I don't want to see this turn into a 180, you know? Like, that's the thing that you don't want to see. But you have every right. Like, people in Kansas City, I mean, go nuts because this is a fun kid to watch. And somebody, if you're there, you potentially look at and say, this could be our answer for the next 15 years.
Does he remind you of Garoppolo at all, a little bit? But, see, Jimmy doesn't run.
You know what's funny, from a different
arm level, side arm over the top.
You know, so like the last 2-3 weeks, the Favre comparison is really like I'm like,
my, see, he doesn't that, remind that, me
that's,
of Favre.
That's
though.
Real. Like, it's real. Like, I think it's there. Like, I think him and Baker Mayfield play like in a similar way to some degree. Yeah. To some degree.
Another guy fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think both those guys are like, they're marketable. Both of them have like swagger and attitude and all that different stuff. And they both can really play. And
4 o'clock on a Sunday, and I'm sitting there watching the Browns. Like, you thought you'd never say that. Like,
right.
I'm going out of my way to watch Cleveland this year.
Cleveland's they're an exciting team to watch on defense. Like, they've suddenly become a team that's like appointment television now.
Sean is in Idaho today. Sean, how are you?
We're all over, man.
I'm doing good there. How's it going there, gentlemen?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Doing good. Congrats on our Boston Red Sox for a big, big triumph. You know, I'm always going to say this, and you'll easily agree with me. Out of both of the series that the Red Sox have won, I'm going to still say 2004 will still be number one. And then, of course, number two, of course, will be 2018. I mean, you both would definitely agree with me. I mean, everybody listening in would totally agree with me after what happened last night.
Yes. Agreed.
Two big wins back-to-back in the Bronx. That's a big one.
Absolutely.
That's a big
one. I mean, and you think about it, too, that the team is not ever afraid of the Yankees at all. I mean, and to think that now they've won 7 out of their last 8 postseason games, 4 straight games on the road in the postseason, sure is epic. I mean, that's a tremendous accomplishment. But I still say that 04 was the first sweet moment. And then, of course, what's great about it is that they did it in the old stadium and they did it in the new stadium.
Okay, I mean, Sean, appreciate the call. Those are all true.
And
that's
good
facts.
There's no question, like it used to be 15, 20 years ago, that they go in there and you'd expect bad things to happen. And that's not just not
that
way.
Oh, that's changed.
Anymore.
Yeah.
That's
and I think that changed forever in 2004.
Yeah.
I think it did. And it certainly is, you know, sort of driven home with this series. That is a nice little stat. They've won 7 of 8.
That's crazy.
In the postseason against the New York Yankees. You got to go back over the last, you know, decade and a half. But that stat is true. And they did win in the old stadium, and now they've won in the new stadium.
Good factual call there.
Very factual. Coming up next, the giveaway, $50 to DQ and sound from last night's final call.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $50 Dairy Queen gift card. DQ, fan food, not fast food. It's caller 10 right now at 617-931-0985. You'll win the $50 Dairy Queen gift card. All right, let's get to what happened last night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub as the game was coming to a close.
Oh, yeah.
We will start. Why don't we start with what actually happened on the airwaves in New York? That would be John Sterling with the final call. Just a terrific play. Steve Pierce making such a stretch, picking that ball at first from Nunez. Nunez made a great play on the ball. I thought off the bat, oh, they got no shot. This ball's dead. It's going to die in the infield, and this inning will continue. And both guys made a great play. I don't care that Nunez didn't have the best throw. The fact that he got it there was impressive.
I thought he was going to airmail.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Like, the fact that he got there and was able to make a throw that was somewhere in the vicinity, great play by both. Here's how it sounded in New York as the Yankees lose.
There'll be a 1-2 to Gleyber Torres. And Kimbrel deals 1-2. Breaking ball is grounded weakly to third. Nunez fields, fires, and it is in time for the out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And the Yankees, I think, before they celebrate, I think the Yankees going to look at it. And I think the Yankees, and they'd be nuts not to look at it. So how anticlimactic is this? It was a ground ball, a weak ground ball to third. Nooney came in, Eduardo Nunez, and...
Wait a minute. All right, wait, so it's anticlimactic, which, like, there's a review that's going to decide the freaking series. And then he calls Nooney.
Nooney. All of a sudden, he can't say Nunez. Yeah. If you heard him there, he goes, Nunez. Nunez at third.
You think that's what it was? You think Nooney was a crutch for him?
And then Nooney becomes the crutch. Ah, well, that's Nooney down there. Who calls him Nooney? Has anyone called him?
Was John Sterling.
Has anyone called him Nooney? Do they call him that? Maybe they do.
Sterling's always called him that, yeah.
No. Nooney. Can we hear it again? That was great.
It was Nunez. A ground ball, a weak ground ball to third. Nooney came in, Eduardo Nunez, and fired to first.
He said Nunez correctly there.
Yeah.
The first time he didn't. Go back to the start. Play it one more time.
Nooney.
There'll be a 1-2 to Gleyber Torres. And Kimbrel deals 1-2. Breaking ball is grounded weakly to third. Nunez feels fire.
Nunez. Nunez, Nooney, and Nunez. He gets calls
all over the place.
And this highlight by John Sterling.
It's like Ken and Lowell yesterday. Edward Nunez.
And then touch your side, Brock Holt, and then you get Edward Nunez out of there.
Is there more to John Sterling's call?
I think the Yankees, and they'd be nuts not to look at it. So how anticlimactic is this? It was a ground ball, a weak ground ball at the third. Nooney came in, Eduardo Nunez, and fired to first. And frankly, I have no idea if they got him or not. I don't know. I just looked at it. I don't know. Now I'm going to look at it again on our monitor, which obviously is much closer than center field. Nunez fires to first, and he's out. So they may look at it, but he was out. The ball hit Pierce's glove on a long stretch before Glaber's foot hit the bag. And if I'm Boston, I think I win the game. It's too bad. It was so close.
Oh, dear.
So near and yet so far. But the throw hit Pierce's glove. He's out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And Boston wins the American League Division Series 3-1. Now, the Yankees, frankly, gave a gallant fight. And Kimbrough was just able to pitch through.
What a poet this man is. A wordsmith, for sure.
Every word is
necessary. Wow. Unbelievable.
Where's Susan go?
He called it a second time. I love it. He did the play-by-play of it twice.
Yep.
Doesn't she head down like at the end
of
the game?
Yeah, she's down on the field by the end.
So he's got a fill there.
Yeah. Pierce's glove. He's out. Ball game over. Boston wins.
Yeah, you know, you already did that once. John Sterling on the call in New York last night. Right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Adam Jones and Christian Arcand were given the task of relaying the information of what was happening in New York.
So Kimbrel looks like he gets the Nunez gets him at first. Got there you go. Wow, that was a close play.
Wow.
That was a close-ass play.
Holy moly.
I would not hug Greg Kimbrel, Christian Vasquez. That's not what I would do. I guess it looks like the Red Sox are holding back on their celebration a little bit. The Yankees aren't challenging this at first.
They might.
Are they?
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, I guess you can, but there's no. He was out. I mean,
He did lean foot. Like, I don't know if his foot came off.
Oh, you think maybe foot off the bag?
He definitely leaned.
I mean, I. You're right. I mean, what's the problem with challenging it? Did Nunez hurt himself again?
I don't know.
Jesus, this guy's like my grandmother. Or is
hurt himself doing what?
Maybe he's just kneeling down. No, it looks like the trainers are out there with him.
Yeah. So what? So he's hurt. So what? Get off the field.
Hey, TBS, can I get a replay? Jesus. Here we go. Oh, all my God. Give me a replay. What's the holdup? Nunez probably blew out his knee again.
Yeah. On a throw.
On the throw to first base. Did this thing pull him off the bag? No, Pierce is on the bag. He's out. That's out. That's game
over. Is it in the glove?
Yeah, that's game over. Yeah, I mean, I think.
All right. I saw him falling forward. I wasn't sure if it stayed on or not. Looks like it did.
Yeah, he's out.
That's in the glove. That is an out. Yeah, that is an out.
I mean, bang, bang, play.
Yeah.
He's out. And the game, you know, I mean, Kimber would still be going. He's out of there. All right, 617-779.
And we move on.
John Sterling and Adam Jones, just two technicians at work.
Oh, man.
You ever heard
of TBS, show us a damn replay. I think everybody was saying that last night when that ended.
Yeah.
Where's the replay? I need to see it. Sorry, so go ahead.
No, I mean, that Jones said it's like clear cut. Oh, he's definitely out.
I didn't feel that
you
way.
Needed
I
the
had
replay.
No idea. I was with John
you
Sterling.
You needed the replay.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea if he was out or not.
What? Get off the field.
Hey, TBS, can I get a replay?
That's what I was doing in my living room, screaming at the TV. Replay, please. Where is the replay? I had enough time to text you and say, where the hell is the replay? That's how much time passed there. Oh, it's so bad. So minor league. That broadcast last night. TBS, they got to get baseball off of TBS. In fact, I think they got to get it off FS1, too. Burying these games on channels that nobody watches.
I mean, I don't have
put
a problem.
Put them back on a channel that people actually watch.
I don't have a problem finding games, generally. It's not that big. I have trouble finding FS1. It's like, where is it?
Yeah, you
got
to talk to your remote.
Like 900-something. Come on.
I could not tell you what
channel. Give me one of the networks or... TBS, I guess, still qualifies, but you start going that far down, then it's a pain in the ass.
A game did about a 24 last night locally here in Boston. A lot of people watched.
That's a good one.
A lot of people saw that. A lot of people watched.
Interesting to see Sunday night numbers. You know, I know you're going
to
have an overlap.
Oh, the head
it's an
head.
Hour and a half. Yeah. But still, you know, that thing's going 4 hours.
That's a two TV type of night.
Oh, yeah. 11.
Patriots will win the rating.
Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah. No doubt about that. They certainly will have more people watching.
I'd be interested to see what that, like how bad they beat the baseball game nationally.
Like yeah, you were tweeting that out the other night.
They doubled up. Like the Monday That's night national. Game between the Redskins and the Saints doubled up. Yeah. The Yankees Red Sox playoff game.
I've talked to some of my journalist friends about the mid 2000s as we talk about these two teams head to head Sunday. So the pursuit of A-Rod in the winter of 03-04 was something that was very annoying to those at Patriot Place as they were on their way winning their second Super Bowl, and they were winning every single week. Mm-hmm. That was when the start of the winning streak happened, right. Was the end of that season.
So they didn't
lose to anybody. I mean, they won out. They won all the way out at the end of that year, and the Red Sox pursuing A-Rod was front page every single day.
Hysteria.
And I remember that time extremely well,
yeah.
And that was dominating conversation. That's what everybody in town was talking about.
Because
they
got Schilling right around then, too, didn't they?
Schilling happened over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And then A-Rod was right after that.
Yeah, the month of December. The entire month of December was about pursuing A-Rod from the Rangers. And it was wall-to-wall coverage. I mean,
and they probably
talk radio at the time was not.
Oh, God,
it was
that was
A-Rod,
peak.
A-Rod, well, A-Rod,
like,
A-Rod every
day.
I mean,
to be fair, that's like talk radio catnip. Like, the idea of pursuing a star like that and it, like, stretching out over a month.
Yes.
That's bigger than any game you could talk about.
But the Patriots were on their way to winning yet another Super Bowl, and they were the best team in the National Football League, and it wasn't even close. So... That's one of the things. I think there may have been one other specific incident that I'm guessing.
I think you're on it.
There's something that happened. Yeah.
I'm guessing they weren't too fond of the gorilla suit either.
That may have been part of it. Maybe that.
That was
know.
Like, what was that, 06?
Who wasn't
I think there was something
the
years
gorilla,
later.
The gorilla suit was like 06, I think.
And it's just
right?
so, and you oh, know what? It's funny to talk about now because the roles have completely flipped between the two teams.
Yeah.
The Patriots are far and away the dominant team in town now.
Yep.
It's not even close.
For now. Yeah.
Which, if you grew up here, seemed impossible. 20 years ago, that seemed impossible.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Red Sox
I don't
are
know
so
that's going to change
here.
Anytime soon.
So. Well, it'll be interesting, you know, 2-3 years post-Brady, depending on, you know, who's the next guy or who's going to coach the football team. The Red Sox went and bought the damn paper. You know, so that's what they had to do. So they bought the damn Globe.
Well, I don't think it's
I don't think they care about the front page of the sports section anymore. You know what else isn't important anymore? The front page of the Globe sports section. Not to put down everyone who's there, but it's just not what that
once
was.
We'll have Shaughnessy tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's also harder, I think, in the NFL. If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, it's hard to stay relevant. In baseball, I mean, the Red Sox can just spend their way into contention.
They always will. Yeah.
We've got a question for Burt Breer about the health of Rob Gronkowski. We will discuss that in 90 seconds.